Good morning, Freedom Church Online. It is great to be with you this morning. We are blessed to be in your homes, and we are thankful that we can worship the Lord together. I have a scripture from Psalms 136, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever." You know, if you have a home, if you have a roof over your head, you have something to be thankful for. If you have family with you and loved ones, you have something to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for at this time. God is so good to us. We have a host pastor online to answer any questions or to answer prayer requests. I just hope that you enter in with your family and worship together with Pastor Ben as he comes and leads us in worship.
Good morning. Let's just worship the Lord together. Thank you for your word, God. We press into your presence now, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together today. We just pray your power, your presence over the situation, over today, God, over our family, over our lives, Lord, our community. We know there's no stopping what you plan, God. There's power in the name of Jesus, and we worship you today. Sing this with me. There is no limit to your power. There is no stopping what you plan. Give us faith to move the mountains and hope to dream again. We see the fires of revival, the darkness giving way to light, the glory of your grace advancing. Let it burn up the night, let it burn up the night. Let the come down in Jesus' name. Let the lost be found in Jesus' name. Let the church arise to shine your light to the world. Shine your light. Your house forever undivided, and all your sons and daughters one. At the cross we are united. Our hope is in the blood. Our hope is in your blood. Let the walls come down in Jesus' name. Let the lost be found in Jesus' name. Let the church arise to shine your light to the world. Shine your light. Open eyes to see in Jesus' name. Let the city sing in Jesus' name. Let the church arise to shine your light to the world. Shine your light. Shine your light. Salvation's tide is rising as all your people seek your face. Your life a river flowing to wash our sin and shame away. Salvation's tide is rising as all your people seek your face. Your life a river flowing to wash our sin and shame away. Salvation's tide is rising as all your people we seek your face. Your life a river flowing to wash our sin and shame away. Let the walls come down. watch arise to shine your light to the world. Shine your light, open eyes to see. In Jesus' name, let the city sing. In Jesus' name, let the church arise to shine your light to the world. Shine your light, salvation's time. Sing it out. Salvation's tide is rising as all your people seek your face. Your life a river flowing to wash our sin and shame away. We'll just thank him for his life that flows like a river. Oh God, you're the restorer of my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let it flow, God. Let it flow to the lost, the hurt, the broken. Let salvation flow, God. Oh, nothing can contain it, Lord. Nothing can overcome it. Because you died and rose again. Hallelujah. Just sing it again. Salvation's time. Salvation's tide is rising. Come on, in Jesus' name. As all your people seek your face, your life a river flowing. Hallelujah. To wash our sin and shame away. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just praise him and thank him wherever you are. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Let your name be lifted up, God. Old things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your sun to shine on dark nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one. The hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have a home. All that was lost has found its place in you. Strong instead, you took these rags and you made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Our hearts adore. We adore you. Our hearts will adore right now, right here, God. Oh, my heart will adore you. My heart will adore you. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on your feet. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Oh, our hearts adore. Jesus, our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Your feet, Jesus, it's you're worthy of it all. You're so worthy of it all. We magnify your life. Come on and magnify him. For your majesty, we crown you King of Kings. Just use these words and magnify him. Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ. We magnify. We magnify your life. For your majesty. For your majesty. We crown you King of Kings. Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ. We magnify your life. for your majesty. We crown you King of Kings. You are worthy, oh Jesus Christ. We magnify your light for your majesty.
You know, we're receiving some really, really good news about our Assemblies of God World Missions Director, Greg Mundus, and even Thomas Carpenter, who we've been praying for. This church has been praying for them. This morning, we got news that Greg Mundus is sitting up in his bed, and he's talking. And I know that God receives all the glory and honor and praise for that. Amen. And I know Thomas Carpenter too. Last I had heard yesterday, he was only breathing through the ventilator 35%. That is awesome news, church. That is so awesome news. That is the power of prayer. When the church gathers together and we pray together for a miracle to happen. So let's join, if you can, just join with me right now, because there are thousands of people. Thousands that need a touch from the Lord today. And we have the power. God has the power to do incredible things when we pray to Him. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer. And we thank you for the results, for the miracles that happen when we open our mouth and we cry out to you, God. We thank you for it. God, we thank you for these reports, God. But, Lord, we pray for complete healing over Greg Mundus and Thomas Carpenter, God. And we pray for complete healing over every single one, Lord, who is sick and needs a touch from you, God. Lord, we love you and we honor you in this place, God. Right where we're at, Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our cry, because we want to hear from you and we want to see you at work. Lord, we love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Ben. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, Freedom Church. I hope you all are doing really, really well, and I hope you're doing great on this Sunday morning. We are doing so awesome. This church is doing so awesome when it comes to your giving, and I can't tell you how awesome it is to just see what you're doing and your faithfulness. I know God is seeing that. And we just want to encourage you. Let's continue to keep our church strong. Let's continue to give to our missionaries too. We support so many missionaries here at Freedom Church, and I know that they count on our support to stay on the field. And so, would you consider also giving to our missionaries this week as well, as we remember them and as you remember your tithes and offerings? The four ways that we can. Four ways that we can give, you can give this morning is, the first way is this. You can go to our website at www.freedomchurch.life and give through our website. The second way is that you can go to our app, the Church Center app, download it, connect to Freedom Church, and give through that app. The third way is that you can give any amount and text it to 84321. Again, that's 84321. You can give any amount and text it to 84321. And the last way that you can give is simply drop it off here at the church or mail it at 2801 Thomasville Road, Tallahassee, Florida, 32308. Let's go ahead and pray over our pastor as he comes to bring the word. God, I thank you for all that you're doing in our church, God, what all you're doing around the world, God. Even when we don't see it, Lord, we still believe, we still have faith, God, because you are working in our midst, God. Regardless of what the news says, regardless of what Facebook or Instagram or any social media platforms are saying, God, we know that you are at work. We see it, oh God, and we believe it. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that as Pastor comes and brings the word, God, I pray for an anointing on his life as he brings the word, and that it would fill our hearts with encouragement and with faith, God, to move mountains, because that is the faith, Lord, that your son described. When we have faith that is the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains, God. So, Father, build our faith this morning. We love you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Marco. It's great to be with you this morning. I'm glad to stand here and communicate to you by the means available. And we're very thankful for the opportunity online. I was just noticing on Facebook several old-time friends from our church in different places, different locations are tuned in. And we just love you and miss you and thank you for tuning in and watching. It means a lot to us. I know you may be wondering why our worship, the way we're doing worship, the way we're doing it. We chose at the beginning of this pandemic, when we realized we were going online, to keep things pretty simple. We didn't want to expose anybody or whatever, and we didn't want a big flashy affair when it came to worship. We just decided to keep things simple. We have a lot of talent in Freedom Church, musicians and vocalists, and pretty soon we're going to get to gather together, and we're going to display all that. But we made a choice just to keep it simple and to join in and just in the simplicity of worship online. And I hope you understand that. And I am glad to be here, and it's good to hear them talking about opening things back up this last week. I'm almost getting a little excited. Next week, we're going to try a little drive-in service. I hope you'll pay attention to your email and watch that and pay attention. I would love to see 100% participation next week as we all drive in and listen to what God's doing, and it'll be a great encouragement, if nothing else, just to see people at a distance. I miss every one of you, and it's just a heart thing that I just love people, and I miss you a bunch, and God bless you. I want to talk to you today about when God is amazed, and we continue our study in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, it says this. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. His hometown is Nazareth. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They did this. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at Jesus, at him. Verse 4, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is without honor except in his own hometown, among his relatives and his own home. He could not, verse 5, listen to this. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I just ask you to speak to our hearts and our lives. Help us to receive it. Challenge us today, Lord. Help us to be willing to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. His hometown of Nazareth. I think in the biblical day, it didn't have a very good reputation. Matter of fact, we find that in 1 John, verses 45 and 46. And I find this a little comical in the life of the disciples. Listen to this. Philip had found Jesus, and then he went to find Nathanael. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then he responds, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. Can anything good come from there? Can anything good come out? Yes, there is something really good. His name is Jesus. He came as a rabbi back to his hometown. I don't know. He must have left as a carpenter. John baptized him. He calls his disciples, and he comes back as a rabbi, accompanied by his disciples, his students. And the Sabbath came, and he did what he normally did. He went to the synagogue, and he began to teach. They were amazed what they heard. They didn't get what he was doing, and they were amazed at his wisdom, and they were amazed at the miracles. But then they say this in verse 3, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at Jesus. Is that not amazing? They took offense at Jesus. Here he is proclaiming truth. They took offense at him. Here he is. They've heard the miracles. They took offense at him. They took offense. I don't know. That kind of surprises me that here one of your people that grew up alongside of you comes back into your village. He has made a name for himself of doing good and loving and caring for people, and you take offense at him. All the things that Jesus did was canceled because they knew Jesus' family. It was canceled in their mind. It negated everything because they knew the family. Oh, we know Joseph. We know. And the dissatisfaction prevailed in Nazareth. They couldn't get past, he grew up among us to become something. A workman had become a rabbi, a worker of miracles, and they could not accept it. In John 7:15, it says this, the Jews were amazed and asked him, how did this man get such learning without being taught? Huh? Here's the other thing that's amazing there. They named the four brothers. It's the only place in Scripture where they named the four brothers of Jesus, and he has sisters. Wow. And the names say something about the devotion of Joseph and Mary, because the names represent Old Testament patriarchs. Joseph and Mary not only were men and women of faith at the birth of Jesus, but they continued that throughout their lifetime. They had a history of being faithful people. You can tell that by the names. Yeah, their role. James becomes an elder in Jerusalem and writes the book of James. It's pretty significant when you think that during the ministry of Jesus, the brothers came to him and say, hey, come on, they are not believers, but we find them all in the upper room. We find them all participating in the community of faith. We find James the elder, and eventually writes the book of James. Judas here is what they call it. But Jude is another, probably wrote the book of Jude. They all became instrumental in the life of the church, which tells you about Jesus. What they came to believe and know, they received from Jesus. The resurrection is real, and it's real because of the life change in the brothers of Jesus. Yeah. His sisters here that are mentioned are not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. And we don't know if Mary's first child was Jesus or if Joseph had other children from a previous marriage and then Mary's. We don't know that. There's been a lot of speculation in the midst of that. But we do know this. Jesus grew up in a family, and in that family, many of them, most of them, came to faith in the resurrection and followed Jesus the rest of the days of their life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, verse 7 and 8, because the village could not believe. Nazareth could not believe in Jesus. And listen to what he said. Now that you who believe, this stone is precious. Talking about Jesus. But those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Verse 8, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Did you hear that? They stumble over the rock. They stumble over Jesus because they're not willing to listen to the message that he brings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, Paul puts it this way. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But those whom God called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. There's something beautiful in the power of the gospel. That power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us who dare to believe. It's a powerful thing. And Jesus comes to his own town, and the thing that amazes him is their lack of faith. I don't know about you, but I don't want to amaze God by my lack of faith. I don't want to amaze God that way. There are a couple instances in scriptures, and I'll let you look them up, where God is amazed at the faith of people, but he's also amazed here in this story at their lack of faith. Because what they should have known is Jesus, and they missed him. They missed him. He is marveled at their lack of, he is marveled at their resistance to him. Wow. Kind of makes you wonder why someone would resist Jesus. I don't know. Where Jesus is free to operate, he reveals hearts. He reveals things in your heart that you may not want to acknowledge, you may not want to receive. Yeah. He reveals motives of why we do certain things. And yeah. You see, the tension of faith and unbelief moves to the forefront in Mark's gospel here. In this story, faith and unbelief. Man, Jesus was not free to exercise his power in his own hometown because of their heart, because of their lack of faith. the lack of faith restrained Jesus. Can you imagine that? I mean, he is the one who spoke it all into existence. He created heaven and earth. He comes to redeem us, but he's shackled. He's hindered because of the resistance in the heart of his own family, of his own people. Huh. Listen to that. I mean, think about it. We've watched a man be delivered. His name was Legion, demon, be cast into pigs. And we saw amazing things happen. We saw Jairus' daughter raised from the dead, a lady with the issue of blood. It's an amazing thing, the things that are going on. And they resist him. I don't know about you, but I want my heart open to whatever God wants to do in my life. I want him to do what he wants to do in the life of our church. I don't want anything to hinder what God, I don't want any restraining thing to hinder God from doing what he needs to do. So I was reminded about Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, there are seven things the Lord hates. Listen to what he says. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes. We know what that is. That's pride. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Listen, haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness that pours out lies, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. He names them sin, lack of humility, hard hearts, evil imagination, stiff necks, a duplicity, saying one thing and doing another, claiming to know God and living like he doesn't exist, that he gave no commands. Wow. Clean all those things out of my life, Lord. Clean out of all of those things out of my life. And Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 6. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord has, your God is giving you this good land to possess. For you are a stiff-necked people. Sometimes we look around and we think about all the good things God's blessed us with and we think we deserve it. And God was reminded the people of God. He gave them a promised land, not because of who they were, but because of who he was. Their necks were stiff toward the things of God over and over again in Deuteronomy as God has tried to lead them into the promised land. The major characteristic of the people of God was their hearts, their necks had become stiff toward God. They resisted him, and they died in the wilderness. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12 and 13, it says, "And he made their hearts hard as flint, and would not listen to the law or the words of the Lord Almighty had sent by his spirit through his earlier prophets. So the Lord was angry toward them. When I called, they did not listen. And when they called, I would not listen either." Do you hear what God's saying there? Because of the stiffness of their hearts, they would not open up to the word of God, through the prophets, through the work of the Holy Spirit. When they called on him, he turned their ear. He turned his ear to them. There's something about repentance that goes a long way in our life. We need to learn to repent from our own heart, from our own attitudes, from the hardness of our heart. God was amazed at Nazareth for their lack of faith. I don't know about you, but I need God to do some things inside of me, my heart, my life, cleanse me like never before. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself on the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed." He's talking there about those who have rejected Jesus. in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Moses talks about the circumcision of your heart. Listen to what he says. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. What is he talking about there? Circumcise your heart. He's talking about cutting away the things that hinder you from hearing God. Cutting away the things that hinder you from obeying God. Get rid of everything that messes up your relationship with God, that hinders faith from working. So Paul just kind of borrows that in the New Testament in Romans chapter 2, verse 28. And 29, a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely an outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And the circumcision is the circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit, not written by code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. You know, when it comes down to it, my life of faith, I want one person to be pleased with that. And that person is God. I want him happy with my life. There have been times when he hadn't been. My heart got hard. My heart got stiff. And when you think of all the things that hard-heartedness and stiff-necked things cause throughout Scripture and even in our daily lives, God, keep my heart soft toward the things of the Holy Spirit and the work of your grace, Lord. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul reminds us of the power that is in us and that we should live in that direction. In him, he says, you were also circumcised with the circumcision performed not by human hands, nor yourself ruled by the flesh to put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, which is where you were also raised through him, your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ, forgiving us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Listen, you and I can walk in victory. You and I can walk not with stubborn hearts, not with resistance to the things of God. You and I can live as the people God has called us to live, in the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of his grace and mercy. You know, I believe that God wants to revive his church in this land. But it'll never happen unless you and I humble ourselves. That's what he says in Chronicles 7, 12, 13, and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. It really comes back to what they did with Jesus. They resisted him, and God couldn't do anything. This is a day when you and I, as God's people, need to humble ourselves before God and ask him to keep our hearts soft toward the work of the Holy Spirit. I hope there's something in your life that says, Lord, don't let my neck get stiff toward the things of God. Help me to walk humbly before you, that I might receive, what you want to do in my life, in our church life, in the life of America. God, heal this land. Can we just take a moment right now and just ask the Lord to heal our hearts, our lives, and make us ready to receive from heaven. Give us faith, Lord, that makes God and gives God the ability to operate and work freely in us and around us. Lord, I thank you for your church. I thank you for your church that's alive and well. And I ask you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, touch your people. Help us, Lord, to walk holy before you. Help us, oh God, to not be stiff-necked. Help our hearts not to be hard. But may we be men and women of faith, Lord, who receive the work and activity of God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Touch us today, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things in the Old Testament that amazed the people of God, Habakkuk said this, that I'm going to do a new thing in your day, and if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. And the very thing that God did that surprised everybody, he used an unrighteous king, Babylon, to judge the people of God. He used an unrighteous person to be his instrument of reviving his people. See, I don't care how God revives his people. I'm hungry for revival. And I hope there's something stirring up in you for something supernatural from heaven to fall in our church, to fall in your life, to fall on our land. I hope you'll purpose in your heart, in your life, God, I want to be open to whatever you need to do through me, in me, around me, and in our church. Amen? May God richly bless Freedom Church. May God richly heal our land. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. Freedom Church Online. Can't wait to see you when we gather together. God bless you.
Next Sunday, April 26th, Freedom Church will have three drive-in services. Service times will be 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11 a.m. These services will take place on the front lawn of the church, and we can accommodate about 90 cars for each service. Everyone will stay in their own cars, and we will broadcast the service on a short-range FM frequency, so you may listen through the radio in your car. There will be no restrooms available, and the service will be canceled if there is inclement weather. In order to ensure we have plenty of room for cars at each service, please RSVP for your preferred time slot by texting SIGNUP to 850-386-4924. We are so excited about getting back together with our church family.
Every Wednesday night, Pastor Marco shares a short message for students on the Freedom Youth Facebook page and Instagram page. If you don't follow the Freedom Youth page on Facebook, access it at facebook.com/freedomyouthtally. If you don't follow us on Instagram, find us at Freedom Youth Tally. Tune in on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m.